What's going on, everybody? You're listening to Local MASH. I'm Brad Lyons, and I'm hanging out with Raquel Lilly. What's up?
What's going on, Brad?
It's been... when did we actually meet? Do you know? If you don't know, it's okay.
I feel like we met like online first, like through probably. Just messaging,
yep.
Probably coordinating some kind of show. But we like met at Good People when we were doing the Summer Sounds
stuff. Yep.
At Good People.
That was fun.
Yeah.
You guys... killed that night.
It was I love playing there. Just people are like just so hype and like getting intoxicated and partying.
Yeah, and that's perfect. That's the funny thing is that, you know, people were, it was a couple things with booking that season was that you know, I want to make sure that when people are playing, they're at least covering their costs, for God's sakes.
Totally,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And Good People was good about like giving a decent budget and
yeah.
You know what I mean? That
they
kind of stuff.
They were very
generous.
Good for us.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
I wish every venue that wanted to have live music understood the value of that.
Same.
You know what I'm saying? Well, especially for you because that's I don't know how much of your living you make doing that, but you definitely make some of your living doing that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, because you're all over the place, and I mean that in a good way. Like, you've got the Twitch thing.
Mm-hmm.
You've got, which now that we've had a little bit of back and forth before we started talking, I realize how much that can encompass as far as content and product and you as a brand and all that kind of stuff. But where were you... when did you get heavily involved into that kind of stuff, the Twitch stuff?
Yeah, so it was kind of by accident. Like, I was doing a lot of gaming just on my own free time.
Just nerding out.
Yeah, and I've always just gamed all through my life. And I got really guilty because I spent so much time. At the time, I was gaming so much.
Right.
I was like, I might as well just try and like be social while I do it. So then I heard about Twitch, and I'm like, you know what? Like, that seems like a cool thing.
Yeah.
And I accidentally stumbled on music. So I was like, wow, I do this anyway.
Right.
Let me just go ahead and try it out. So I started streaming music, and I gained so much more just popularity and so many more followers, subscribers. Just my audience built so much faster than if I was staying in gaming.
Yeah.
And part of the reason was at the time music was really new. So this was about 2 years ago.
Okay.
And there wasn't a lot of music there. So there was a lot of room for growth and a lot of room for artists like me to just find my niche.
Well, and that's the funny thing. There's a part. Oh, so first of all, before we move on, will you just, for those that don't know what Twitch is, can you give a really quick explanation of what it is?
Sure. It's like YouTube, but it's live.
Right.
So it's video broadcasting, but it's happening in real time.
Yeah, and it's similar to social media in the sense that like people follow you and your channel, quote
unquote,
right?
Yeah, there's that sense of growth, mm-hmm. just like any other social platform. But what makes it unique is the audience interaction.
Right.
So the more you interact and the more culture you build around whatever your product is, whether that be video games, cooking, music, clay, pottery, whatever it is.
Right.
There's a whole audience that kind of just morphs into this culture with you.
And one of the things that I thought, because a reoccurring conversation that happens here on this show is the idea of, for example, I feel like Bottle Tree, what I'm about to explain, Bottle Tree filled this void, which is that smaller but credible mid-level venue, whatever you want to call that, that is very supportive of the people in town, right? Or can be.
Yeah.
And it gives people an opportunity, musicians and bands, an opportunity to screw up. Right?
Totally.
To be able to play shows and get booked and like make the mistakes.
Totally.
And it's only in front of 150 to 200 people instead of you get lucky in Iron City actually to open, but you don't have your you know what together yet. And that's a hard way to learn a lesson. And I don't think there's as much growth in that. So that's a conversation that's come up a lot as far as Birmingham goes. But talking to you, I also realized that you're getting more opportunity and putting more hours in, quote unquote, in front of people, whether it's really like live
in face to face
or through the streaming, you're getting the opportunity to play more often. Therefore, you're getting to work on your craft more often than people who only rely on, quote unquote, traditional means of getting out in front of people.
Oh, yeah.
You know what
I mean? On a regular week, I will stream 3 to 4 times, like, doing just music.
Yeah. And see, that's insane.
Each session is like 3+ hours. Right. So even if I'm talking in between, I'm still playing music at least 2.5 of those hours.
Right.
Just straight like reading chords, charts, reading lyrics, learning melodies. And then another cool aspect about it is I do live learn sometimes. So I'll listen to a song that like I don't even know
right.
that someone donated for. And they're like, here, learn this. Raquel, I think it'd sound good with your voice. And then you're
that's
like
cool.
thrown into the wolves, unlike right. a bar gig where you're playing like your repertoire.
Yeah. Well, and it's the added accountability of someone has asked you to do this.
Yeah.
It's like you're forced to explore yeah. this musically because you can't just phone it in. Like, you can't just, like, download the chord chart off Google and then, I don't know, half-ass it?
Yeah, right? Like, it's happening live, so you gotta...
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Oh, it's nothing you get to prepare.
It's a live
learn. It's like, in the moment, they ask you to yeah. do something and you do it. Now,
yeah.
that means you're insane.
Oh, yeah. I'm sweating kidding, the whole time. I'm like, oh, God, I hope it sounds good.
But that... So, okay, now that I get what you're saying, like, that goes back to the craft part, too, though. It's like, how many songwriters, vocalists, whatever, like, get put into that kind of a pressure situation live in front of however many people are streaming in the moment?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
that kind of shows you what you're made of really quickly, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's cool.
That's another cool thing about Twitch is that I feel like a lot of people who are like converting from YouTube, they're used to editing and putting out their best.
Right.
While like some days I might have like a groggy, like I feel groggy or like, mm-hmm. you know, I'm not looking my best.
You're a normal human and
right.
you're having a day. Yeah.
And you see that and it affects like the way people treat you, what people say. So
sure.
it's a beauty and it's a curse. It's the blessing and
like
it's a
everything,
curse.
Like everything, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like it's always that yin and yang thing.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that gives you something great is also
yeah.
the thing that can totally ruin you in the
yeah,
end.
Yeah, totally, yeah.
You know what I mean? All right, so let's talk about... I want to get to a couple songs while we're here on the mm-hmm. radio show portion. Do you want to start with Mary?
Sure, yeah. Let's talk about Mary.
All right, cool. Well, why don't we do this? Let's listen to it first. And then we'll come back and talk to it
sure,
afterwards.
Yeah.
Is that cool?
Yeah.
All right, cool. So this is, you want to set up the song just real quick?
Sure, yeah.
Before we go to break?
Mary is an original that I wrote about, it's about two things.
Okay.
It's either about the most attractive, most beautiful woman you know,
mm-hmm.
or it could be about this recreational medicinal plant that is... That is heavily used, especially in the United States.
Especially certain states
yeah,
in the United
certain States.
Certain
states in the United
exactly.
States.
Okay, cool. Now that you... Never mind, I'm going to say anything else. This is Mary from Raquel Lilly. You're listening to Local MASH.
I see paradise, sunny skies I saw when she is by my side. Caress her lips with my fingertips, smile glowing so bright in the pale moonlight. An evergreen, such a timeless queen. Cherry light, she makes me feel alright. Stay with me all night. I ain't got no shame, ain't no other day. She's the one, her name is Mary. Blowing up, 'cause she's got the stuff. She's loud and a bit obscene, if you know what I mean. Boys lining up, but she'll call your bluff. Ain't no one in town can touch that crown. Her majesty makes me weak in the knees. Cherry light, she makes me feel alright. stay with me all night. I ain't got no shame, ain't no other dame. She's the one, her name is Mary. Her name is Mary. $10 says I bet your coffee.
What's going on? You are listening to Local MASH, and I'm Brad Lyons, and I'm still hanging out with our guest this week, Raquel Lilly.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome back. We just listened to your song, Mary. So let's talk about it. So actually, I do have a couple specific questions, but let's go more into, you don't have to tell exactly, you know, what the song is about or whatever, but maybe use it loosely to kind of talk about maybe an aspect of your songwriting process.
Cause, sure.
Because I hear, when I've seen you live and heard recorded stuff, not all the time, but you do use a lot of kind of like major seven, mm-hmm. kind of like jazzy inversions of chords and stuff on the guitar.
Totally.
So what is your, is there a typical songwriting process for you?
For me, it's always lyrics and melody. And it always is birthed from like an idea. So I don't really write the chord structure first. I have like a loose idea of like, so for instance, for Mary, the first thing that popped up in my head was like this chorus. And for some reason, it just felt so like airy and just like kind of reggae. And I just had this like vision for it.
Yeah.
And I kind of always wanted to write a song that was heavy on the metaphors.
Right.
And my respect and love for this stuff, you know?
Sure. Yeah.
And, I didn't want it to be in your face. Like a lot of songs that's...
Can get really on the nose
right,
with stuff.
Right, and it's like, it's very like, literal. And I didn't really want that. I kind of wanted to leave a little bit of mystery. So as far as the songwriting process, I wrote these lyrics based on like this, like the most like just sensual,
right.
The most fun girl that you could be with, the most interesting girl that you know.
That's interesting too to like, hear from your perspective as the person that wrote the song, like the conscious choice to not be, like you said, like too on the nose. Because I think that's the power. There's a discernment there that I think songwriters either have or don't have. You can develop it probably, but to know when to keep it vague and let them really have more room to inject themselves into the song, therefore have a more personal connection, which might have nothing to do with what inspired you to write the song.
Right.
Right? That's the beauty of it. Or when to be very on the nose.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Because
there, you can lose something by not doing that sometimes too. You know what I mean?
Those are most of my songs. It's just I like to inject things with metaphor and leave it up to the reader or like the listener, if you will.
Right.
Just... It's not fun when something's thrown in your face. Like, you ever watch a music video and it's like a literal interpretation of the song and it's like, all right.
I hate that so much.
Some people love it, but I find it to be just like, come on, like, let's be original here. Like, let's think of something else.
Well, some people don't. I'm going to use my parents as an example. I have found it's only worsening as time goes on. I feel like as far as the art that I consume, and I'll just use movies as an example, my parents hate, I can guarantee you, at the end of a year, with the most artsy kind of, you know, film buffs love it, you know, blah, blah, blah kind of film, they will hate it.
Yeah, the artistic.
And the ones that are very just leave nothing to the imagination. This is happening and this person feels this way.
Yeah.
And so we're going to make him look sad. And you know what I mean? Like you said, like just kind of miming out mm-hmm. this emotion instead, mm-hmm. which is fine. But they tend to be the type of people that just want it like that. They don't want the, what does that mean?
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? That's not my take or the way I like to approach things.
Yeah.
But I kind of get that. I don't know. I used to look at those types of movies or whatever and go, well, they suck.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, I might not like it, but it's doing the job for other people. Other people love this movie.
It just, I guess in my
it's
opinion.
It's a style thing, you know?
Yeah, if I'm going to put out something, I want like a level of artistic depth where like I want people to peel back the layer and be like, what did she really mean about this? Because
sure.
you're already putting out such personal things just by writing lyrics or
right.
putting out music. So if people don't have room to interpret it for themselves, and I don't see the point in like throwing this message out there.
Sure.
I
get
know.
It.
Like, I guess, like, I just like that hint of mystery.
Yeah. One, I mean, to put really simply, it just makes people think.
Right. Yeah.
You
thought provoking
know what I mean?
Stuff.
Exactly.
Like, is she really talking about this girl, or is
right.
she, what is it really about?
Yeah, for sure. All right, let's get to another song. Are you cool with Kicking You Down?
Yeah. Yeah.
All
let's
right?
do it.
Mm-hmm. All right, cool. All right, so we're going to take a listen to Kicking You Down from Raquel Lilly, our guest tonight. You're listening to Local MASH.
Getting drunk off of wine, that is how you spend your time. She ain't even a dime, and she's bitching at you every night.
Welcome back. I'm Brad Lyons, and this is Local MASH, and we're hanging out with our guest this week, Raquel Lilly.
What up?
What up? All right, so we just heard Kicking You Down. Let's talk about it.
Yes.
Give me a little bit about the song.
So I feel like everyone's kind of got like that whipped friend.
Yeah.
You're giggling, so
right?
Yeah. It's really about that. It's very straightforward. Somebody just kind of just complaining about their significant other all the time.
And don't do anything
and don't
about
do,
it.
Yeah, you're
yeah.
filling in the blanks.
Yeah.
You're filling in the blanks.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what it's about, is just a friend that's just talking and just like it's all negativity and you're
sure.
And you've wasted so much energy trying to like help them out, but they just never get there themselves.
Well, and do you think part of it is just a kind of innate need of attention and sympathy that comes from a place that like can't be satiated by just being nice to someone? Does that make sense?
I think
it's just like the tank is never full with certain people. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's definitely attention seeking behavior, probably like sprouting from like their insecurities, internal insecurities.
Oh, and by the way, I'm totally guilty of it. I'm not saying that
yeah,
like
no,
it's
not
an
perfect.
Observation I've made about everyone else that's so messed up. Yeah. I'm
Everyone's
totally guilty of it.
Like yeah. I, you know, just
sure.
It's but it is a special person that like decides to stay in such like a doomed torturous relationship, this bind with someone like willingly and that's what it's about, is just someone at the end of the day they're kind of kicking themselves down. It's not even just their significant other, they're doing it to themselves. And the chorus is, you tell me life isn't fair, meanwhile you're sitting around not even making a sound. So it's like, you're not even doing anything about it, buddy. Like, stop complaining.
Yep. If you're not, yes. And that's something that I've been working on it really hard the last couple of years, I would say. Because there's different points in your life where you realize a certain thing, you know, like almost like an epiphany. I hate to sound so cliche or whatever, but, and it's another one of those decisions where it's like, okay, so I know this is true about myself. Am I actually going to like change it, which is the hard thing to do, or am I just gonna kind of like just let it do its thing?
And it's not even like, the song's not even about this specific relationship, it's about people dealing with inner demons that like you're gonna complain about it, but you're not being proactive about pursuing a better method, or like,
I can't help you if you won't help yourself.
It comes down to like
all those cliches,
right
it's just you for sure. So before we get out of here, well, first of all, thank you for doing this.
Thank you for having me.
I appreciate it. I know you've been traveling a lot lately, and you drove in today, didn't you?
I got back last night.
But
yeah, I drove in today.
Okay, cool. So thank you for doing this.
Of course.
So what's going on with you? Is there anything people need to be looking out for?
Yes. So I encourage everyone to follow me on Spotify, because I'm planning on doing a full album, or a full-length album release soon.
Cool.
Which is going to be full production. I'm planning on recording my live band. It's going to be awesome. There's going to be way more production, obviously, than just my acoustic album that I just released last year.
Yeah.
Stripped. But if you follow me on Spotify, you'll know exactly when I drop it. So
cool. What about other socials?
Instagram.
Twitch.
I'm on Twitch.
Is it just your name?
Raquel Lilly.
Cool.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Everything. If you just Google Raquel Lilly or whatever social media.
Okay, cool.
You'll find it.
Good deal. All right, awesome. Well, we'll talk again soon, I hope.
Yeah.
And just for everyone that's listening right now, we are going to continue the conversation off the radio. So if you'd like to check that out, you can go to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, any of the places that you would normally get a podcast. It'll be there. So you can check out the rest of our conversation there. And we'll be back in just a few minutes. You're listening to Local MASH. Welcome back. This is the podcast version of Local MASH, and I'm hanging out with Raquel Lilly.
What's good?
What? You and all your Twitch friends?
Yeah, yep. We're here. We're hanging out.
All right. So let's talk about this first. So you just moved. Funny thing is, I feel like you travel so much that, and maybe it's just the, because we don't like talk every day or something like that, and I see you on social media, right?
So
it probably
we're buddies.
Seems like more than it actually is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do you feel like you live wherever you're paying rent, or you know what I mean?
No, it was a lateral. It was a pretty lateral move for me.
Yeah, I mean, you're gone all the time. It seems like
I am. A benefit of living in Atlanta, which was like a big reason why I moved there, is because I travel so much.
Yeah.
And I have to pay for plane tickets all the time.
And they're cheaper and easier to find out of Atlanta.
Both, and it's direct connection.
Yes.
Or no connections. It's just direct flight. Yeah. Yep. And that saves me so much time, and time is money. And
if I still traveled as much as you do, I would do the same thing. I mean, sometimes the price difference is even enough to make it worth just driving to Atlanta.
Yeah.
Just for the flight.
You know what I mean? It's ridiculous. And it's 2 hours, like RIP, gone.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So let's talk about, we were just talking kind of in between shows. You were just in LA for a while. What was going on?
I was primarily out there because I set up this show. Basically, I played with another Twitch streamer and some other Twitch musicians who typically stream on Twitch and have their own channels. And I recruited some of them, plus my bassist from town.
Cool.
And we put together this show. Like, a bunch of bands.
Yeah.
I think it was one other band and another acoustic act. And it was me, my band, mm-hmm. plus, like, all these Twitch people that played with me. All my Twitch people that lived in South California
right.
came out, and people from like Vegas showed up, some people from NorCal showed up. So it was kind of just like a big Twitch meet.
That's badass.
But also some people who like listen to me on YouTube and Spotify, just people who have heard of me in the past few, however long they've been listening to me,
right.
could come out and, you know, watch me like a typical show.
That's cool.
Yeah.
What do you feel at all overwhelmed by the amount of kind of like social media options there are, as far as like, do you just concentrate on a couple of them, or are you kind of like just as active on Twitter as you are on Twitch as you are on Instagram? Is it all kind of equal?
Or no,
no. Okay, cool.
So there's tiers of it, and I wish I could say that it's all equal.
Well, I don't think that's possible.
It's hard unless you have like a team,
right? On your own, I mean, it wouldn't be possible.
Or if I was just glued to my phone and that's literally all I did, but.
Yeah. That'd be really unhealthy.
Yeah. There's like other things to do, you know?
Sure.
Like actually create music.
Right.
The one that I'm biggest in is Twitch. That's like where I put most of my energy.
Okay.
I put a lot of time into it.
Yeah.
Secondary to that is Instagram.
Yeah.
And then it's Twitter, and then everything else kind of like trickles down from it. Facebook is probably the one that's like, I'm so bad at Facebook.
Yeah. I just finally gave up on it. Like, I mean, now I'm thinking about it. It's probably been 5 years?
Yeah.
6 years?
Because
it just got to where it was like, I don't even know why. Like, I don't know what I'm doing anymore. Like, I feel like Instagram, I know what I'm doing with Instagram.
Yeah.
It's like, it's kind of monosyllabic in a way. You know what I mean? It's like, it's pictures. Yes, you can make comments or whatever, but it's a picture.
It's Twitter much more.
Has its thing. I just feel like Facebook is trying to do all of it,
yeah,
and failing.
It's like now we have live streaming,
right?
And now we have stories just like Instagram, and it's
right.
like no one's using this.
Yeah, and it's like, what do you? Yeah, it doesn't matter. We don't need to talk about that.
Yeah,
but I was just curious because
I'm gonna take my shoes off. That's
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, go for it. Absolutely. Because I'm overwhelmed, and excuse me. Really, the only thing I pay attention to anymore is Instagram.
See, you and like a bunch of other people.
Yeah.
I think Facebook.
You just have the energy for this whole thing though, right?
Well, it's just, you know, I used to be on Snapchat, and that's how
okay.
I used to like give my Twitch people like exclusive content.
Is that out now? Is that like.
No, I still see a lot of people using Snapchat, but it's like ever since Instagram adapted the whole stories thing.
Yeah.
Because I upload to that anyway, I just felt like consolidating
yes.
everything to one platform is probably easier for me. And
right.
I just did it out of convenience.
That's cool.
And luckily, like, my growth on there has been all right. Versus on Snapchat, it's like you literally have to give people, like, type this in. If you don't type this in, you're not going to find my username. And it's, like, so much harder.
Yep. To run all that stuff, I just feel like, well, so how do you manage your time? You kind of, I guess, joking a minute ago, but, you know, there are other things to do other than being online, right? And you're
yeah.
like, you know, like write music or whatever. So
totally.
How do you, because it sounds like Twitch is such a fluid thing.
Uh-huh.
So how do you manage your time with all that?
I have a schedule.
You do? Okay.
Yeah, I have to because I feel like if you're successful at anything, it always involves some kind of schedule.
Yes.
And yeah. especially for something like Twitch, if you think about it as like a TV station, with like your favorite TV channel.
Yep.
The Simpsons is on 8 p.m. Eastern Standard every day.
Right.
So like Raquel Lilly's got to be on at 7 p.m. Eastern, you
right.
know? So you try and keep a consistent schedule. That's with anything I do. So besides Twitch, I try and keep up with like the times where I'm going to be, you know, practicing vocals and like making sure I'm getting better at singing because that's the thing that I'm doing.
Right.
Or that's what I claim I'm doing.
Sure. Yeah.
So, you know, the same thing with songwriting. That one, songwriting for me is more spontaneous, unfortunately. I can't just sit down and be like, I write a song every day this time.
Right, right, right.
I'm very like emotionally inspired. So mm-hmm. if I'm bawling my eyes out, I'm most likely also glued to my guitar.
Right.
Things like that.
Yeah.
And then I've got a schedule for like live gigs that I play. So, like I said, I stream 3 to 4 times a week, and that's really 3 or 4 hour sessions. Okay. Whether that's just like playing a show where I'm just like playing the set list and taking requests, or I'm doing live learns for a whole stream where people pitch their song and I listen to it and I play it.
Right.
And that's all kind of active practice.
Yeah.
But then I do a lot of like off stream practice where like, if it's a song that I want to learn, I spend time doing that. So again, it's just part of my schedule.
That's cool. I mean, how do you, so the idea of community for you, right? So you have this schedule,
mm-hmm.
right?
Schedule.
Yeah.
I also wake up at 11 a.m. So like,
sure.
don't think that I'm like this early bird. We're working out every day. Like,
see, that's
I'm
bullshit
still a musician.
Though. Like, right. Yeah. And that's the funny thing is like, I even get still kind of not arguments, getting into conversations, we'll call them, with even like family members and stuff.
Yeah.
That's like, they'll say stuff like, well, you know, you slept till 11. And it's like, I did. But motherfucker, I was up till 5.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, don't act like I went to bed at 9:30 like you did and slept till 11.
Right.
I got
you were
less
working.
Sleep. Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Like, I actually got less sleep than you. Not,
yeah.
And that's not something to be proud of. Like, I've learned how important sleep is
yeah.
in a real serious way, actually. It sounds yeah. funny, but it's like the schedule thing. You know, I have to make myself have some sort of a schedule. I
yeah.
wish I could be that fluid and be productive, but I just can't.
Oh, I also have like a checklist. So if it's not a schedule, I don't mean like a 2 p.m. I do this every
no,
day.
Yeah,
I know people that are like that regimented,
sure.
one of which is my keyboardist, Martin. If you've mm-hmm. ever met him, he's uh-huh. got like a every day from this time to this time. Practice scales. Now it's arpeggios. Now it's songs I want to learn. And it's like, he is like on it, but that's like, that's his shit, you know?
Yeah, but it's so funny too, where that's a total, maybe not personality is not the right word for it.
It is a part of his personality.
Yeah.
But also, yeah, it's.
I'm just not naturally a regimented person. Like
right.
everything, you know, looking back on it, everything, any progress I've made has been just by throwing myself into it
mm-hmm.
and seeing if it works or not.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's not.
Yeah.
And I'm very led by, I'm the same way with songwriting. Or I used to do a thing where I would write a song a week.
Yeah,
that was
that's
the
awesome.
Goal, right?
Yeah.
Nothing crazy like every day or whatever. Mm-hmm. But now I'm off that and I don't have to write once a week necessarily. Like that's not really what I do as a job, but it's
mm-hmm.
important for what I do, which is mainly production, to still have my songwriting chops because that comes in handy a lot in the studio.
Yeah.
But for me now, songwriting is like what you're talking about. It's like I'm feeling something real heavily.
Yeah.
And I just have to
you gotta get it,
get
out.
It out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like you write in bursts, meaning when you do get hit with it, you know, you've got the song done in an hour or 3 hours? Or is it like you get the burst and you get some idea down and then you have to come back to it
both
later?
A majority, if it's going to be a keeper, like
mm-hmm.
if it's a banger,
yeah.
you know, like I'm going to probably write it in like a half an hour to an hour.
Okay.
But if it's outside of that, if I'm thinking too hard, if it like usually I scrap it and it's like, as long as I could get like a solid verse, pre-chorus, chorus, or some kind of like 2/3 of the song done.
Mm-hmm.
What I usually leave out is the bridge, unfortunately.
Yeah.
That's like where I struggle.
That's where everyone struggles.
Yeah.
It's like the most impossible. I mean, that's to the point where I feel like if it's not a great bridge,
mm-hmm.
then don't have a bridge.
Yeah. But what I've been doing is I write like I have like a riff graveyard or like a lyric
mm-hmm.
graveyard. And it's like ideas for bridge so that I don't
yeah.
100% like leave the mindset.
Sure.
Because if I'm writing the lyrics and I have this flow of just like emotion and like lyrical ideas, I don't think I can get back to that same mind space.
Yeah.
So it's easy to just come back to a bunch of trashed words where, like, at the time it made sense, but now I could fit it.
You can move it around or whatever.
Yeah, melodically, you need to do. Lyrically, whatever it is.
So what are your See, it's so funny to hear this because if I had to make a guess, I would have guessed that you're much more and I don't mean this in a bad way, like because you seem to understand the quote unquote formula. You know what I mean?
That's flattering.
I mean it as a compliment, like, because some people don't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like okay, no, but this thing that you just wrote, don't you want your chorus to beat the verse in a way?
Yeah.
Like, this isn't as good as the verse.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, do something better.
Oh, I give up entirely on the song.
Like, do you?
If it's like, if the chorus is shit, like, scrap that. Like,
so you don't,
bury it.
So if you have this great verse, then you don't stick with the verse and try and write a great chorus. You just kind of go, this just isn't working.
The amount of songs that I've scrapped is, like, astounding.
Oh, see, that makes me want to cry.
It's like, it's,
I mean,
you know,
it's beautiful that you can do that.
Yeah.
But.
Well, I don't know. It's like, I'm writing these songs for me, and if I'm not happy with it at the end of the day, then, like, what's the point? And I know that sounds really selfish, but
no.
It's my project. That's,
well, because,
like,
you have to believe it.
Yeah.
You're the one that has to perform it and sing it.
I got to sell that, you know? Like, yeah. I can't do it with, like, a, this is my latest and greatest.
Sure.
It's hard. So if I'm not feeling it, like, why should the crowd feel it? Why should the audience feel it?
They're not going to. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Absolutely. That's cool.
But I totally get what you mean. Formula-wise, you're saying, like, the formula of, like, a catchy song or, like, a pop song. Or...
Yeah. It's just sometimes you can listen to a songwriter's stuff and, like, forget style, forget even what you think about it or whatever. Like, there is an aspect of the craft that it is about structure and a formula of some sort. But some people, it feels mechanical. And some people, it feels like, no, they know, they just know how to do this.
Yeah. That's cool.
You know?
Yeah, that's awesome.
It felt more like that with you, I guess.
Well, I love hearing that. I have zero formal musical training.
That's even better.
So it's kind of like an insecurity of mine, admittedly.
Weird.
So.
Because you're so like, I mean, you just have like a legit, really good voice, right?
Thank you. So, yeah, I guess.
Yeah, I mean... Because some people are, there's Neil Young, and then there's Aretha Franklin.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
I love both, but if someone asked me who's the better vocalist, obviously I'm going with Aretha.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I'm saying that you definitely fit into like the, you sound like you've been taught, and you sound like you don't fall into a lot of the vocal pitfalls people have, that they fall into when they haven't been trained.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And I'll tell you, part of it is because I moved to Birmingham.
Really?
Oh, absolutely.
Well,
yeah.
Okay. So what's that about? What do you mean?
I used to be really like indie pop, like very Ingrid Michaelson.
Uh-huh.
You know, not that much soul really.
Right.
And when I moved here, I just kind of just became inundated with all these like soul players, jazz artists, soul singers, just people who would just like the Southern grit.
Yeah.
That if you think about it, people like Adele, who's from Britain, Amy Winehouse, all these people are emulating Southern singers, Southern accents, and these Southern sounds that like was made in your backyard right here in Birmingham. And just being surrounded by these kinds of musicians, you kind of just absorb it. So it's funny because like, especially when I play on the internet, a lot of people are like, you know, stumbling on your channel. When you look at you, I don't expect this like soulful singer,
right.
And it's cool to hear that, but I really like, it's a product of my environment almost.
Yeah.
Because before I lived here, I wasn't like that.
Where did you live before Birmingham?
Long story, I grew up in New York. Well, I was born in the Philippines, grew up in New York, went to school in Miami for 2 years. That's when I started becoming kind of like, I want to be a singer-songwriter.
Right.
Then I moved to California, and then I moved to Birmingham.
Wow. California, yeah. Back to here, or to here.
Yeah.
That's such a culture shock.
Yeah.
In every way.
It was cool. Like, I've honestly just, I guess because I was born in the Philippines and I didn't really have that North versus South mentality.
Yeah, sure.
I didn't really have that predisposition as to, like, how the South was going to be. And Birmingham's so different. I can't speak for the rest of Alabama.
Yeah.
But Birmingham is definitely a very, like, inviting city for someone my age and...
I agree. It's deceptively Southern. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Like, well, it's surrounded by it, so yeah.
Right. But it's I find myself, I mean, everyone's got their echo chambers of some of culturally of whatever you want to talk about, whether it's politics or it's religion or it's music even or art or whatever. But I feel like I have friends here that are like way more progressive than people that I'm friends with that grew up in really progressive places like Southern California or God, like San Francisco or something.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It is one of those situations where I totally understand the bad rap that the South gets and it deserves it. Right. But there's also something about the South that, I don't know. It's the cities are way different than the surrounding state. And
totally.
I know that that is true everywhere in the country, right? Like rural Pennsylvania is very different than Philly, obviously. But within context of the South, I feel like Birmingham is way different in that sense.
Yeah.
Because it's still pretty small.
Yeah.
I mean, Birmingham is not a big city.
Yeah.
But it does have a lot of the, for the South, a lot of like progressive people in the city.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, if you think about New York, if there weren't so many people living in like the New York, you know,
right.
New York, New York, there's like rednecks in upstate New York too.
Absolutely.
That,
they
like,
just have different accents.
You wouldn't be able to tell from like
California's got it too.
California white trash or
yeah.
like
drive
you
up
know,
the center of California.
Everybody's
man.
Got them.
Yeah.
Everyone's got the neighbor that like, you know.
Well, and that's the beautiful thing too about traveling. It sounds like such a, again, kind of cliche thing to say, but that's been the biggest thing in my life is having parents that grew up overseas is one thing, but then I don't know, living in the South, I feel like I got to look at it from the outside in a way because my family is not Southern.
Right.
Does it
that's
make
how
sense?
I felt.
So like it, I mean, I've lived here most of my life. I mean, I say I'm from Birmingham. I don't say I'm from Missouri or
yeah.
anywhere else we lived when I was really young. But it does make a difference. Like,
yeah.
I noticed it. The way I talk to my parents is different than people in the South talk to their parents. Like,
right.
I did not grow up in a yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir kind of. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm just
yeah.
saying. I remember one of my friends freaking out one time because my mom was at the bottom of the stairs and my room was upstairs. And he was over hanging out. And mama was like, Brad, I need you to da, da, da. I was like, all right, I'll get it. And he was like, oh my God.
Just mortified.
I'm like, what? I had no idea. And he's like, you talk to your mom that way? And I was like, yeah, I wasn't being mean to, like, it's cool, man. Like, that's just how we talk to each other.
You know what's funny is I've always said that the Philippines is like the South and that we're very religious and very family oriented
mm-hmm.
because it is yes, ma'am, no, ma'am over there too. So when people are like, is it a culture shock? And I'm like, no, it's kind of, it's
kind of the same.
It's still
way.
A traditional.
Sure.
You know, we eat a lot of fried food that's probably going to clog your arteries.
Yeah.
A lot of sweets.
Yeah.
Same thing in the South.
Yeah.
Very religious based. Yeah, a lot of parallels.
My family lived in the Philippines for a while, actually.
Yeah.
I remember my was it the Philippines? Oh, you could confirm this for me. My grandmother telling me about tree snakes.
Oh, yeah. There's, that, I mean... Yeah, everywhere in Southeast Asia for sure.
I was like,
definitely in the Philippines.
I mean,
too.
I was a kid and I was like, holy shit, that sounds terrifying.
Yeah.
I would never want to walk, and I'm sure it's not like this, but she made it sound like you can't walk under trees.
Yeah.
Because if you walk under any tree, a giant snake will fall down from the limb and kill you.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, why would anyone ever live in the Philippines?
Right.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? Of course, that's not what she was saying. That was my like 8-year old brain doing that. But
meanwhile, you got water moccasins hanging out and like
oh,
these
real?
Lakes over here.
Yeah, yeah. All the like
these rivers,
the creeks and stuff in,
yeah, yeah.
in Birmingham. That I grew up around.
Yeah.
Saw water moccasins all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. What are some of your, because we just kind of moved into this, like, you made this tradition or transition into more of like a soulful kind of area than
yeah.
the maybe the straight kind of, like you put it, like Ingrid Michaelson type pop, that indie pop stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, who are some of your, like, how did the influence path work for you?
Yeah, so believe it or not, I used to be really into metal when I was in high school.
I totally believe that for some reason.
And I closet listened to a lot of jazz and like pop singers like Katy Perry and Lady Gaga and Amy Winehouse.
Yep.
in a closet listened to people like Sarah Vaughan, who are like traditional great vocalists.
Why you got a closet listen to that?
Because when you're like as delved into hardcore as I was, people would be like, oh, you're a pussy.
Yeah, you know? Like, no, I get it.
You were like hard and
it's
tough.
A cred thing. Okay.
It is, yeah. And you know, you don't want to talk about like Lullaby and Birdland when you're talking about like death metal.
Sure.
So, yeah. It just wasn't part of my image, man.
What did you listen to when you were in the metal?
Got everything from Meshuggah to Hatebreed to Killswitch Engage.
Really angry shit.
Yeah, yeah. I was a very angsty teen.
Were you?
I totally was.
What happened? Are you don't seem angsty at all now.
Now I don't, because I had a whole screaming phase.
Really?
For years. You know, I was
you
in
just
a,
got it all out?
Yeah, I was in a metal band. I was in a few metal bands, and I was their lead singer. So I screamed.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And, you know, all my angry, angsty teen
when
lyrics
came
out.
When was this? This was like, just all through high school or what?
Yeah, this was like age 13 to 18. So like literally
hell
all throughout high
yeah.
school. Like I was in the thick of it.
That's badass. You probably have a lot of guy friends, don't you?
Oh, yeah. 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 That's all my friends are guy friends.
Because you're like, you got the gamer thing going on. You have the past of like metal, right?
Yeah. Well, I grew up with a brother, so I was always kind of a tomboy. Growing
older
up,
brother?
Yeah. And he's the one who got me into music to begin with. We kind of split off when I started listening to metal, though.
Okay.
But he introduced me to a lot of classic rock, which got me into punk, which got me into metal.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I got to college, I couldn't bring like my amp and stuff. And I brought my grandpa's nylon acoustic with me.
Oh, cool.
So I just started doing songs that like I've always wanted to do. And it was kind of, you know, when you go to college, it's like a new identity.
Sure. You start over a little bit.
Yeah. You're not like Cannibal Corpse Raquel anymore. You're like Sundress and Cute Hair Raquel.
Right.
And for the first time in my life, I guess I started hanging out with people who'd go to open mics. My roommates were all girls. So I was very like in this just different world of like, put yourself out there. Like, don't be such a reclusive metalhead anymore.
Right.
And I kind of found my love for songwriting, and my friends at the time were the ones who was like, you should pursue this because you have some shit that needs to be said. You should do this. Never thought about it till then, but that's when my whole Raquel Lilly identity started.
Okay.
Yeah.
So talk to me about what's the transition from angry ass metal, like personally, what, or maybe it was just a natural thing, but what caused the change?
Well, I didn't have the greatest home life.
Okay, cool.
Like my parental situation was really rough growing up.
Yeah.
So I think the sense of freedom that I gained out of like leaving the house and being like not under anyone's roof for the first time, mm-hmm. leaving the state.
Yeah.
I mean, I went from New York to Florida, so it was like this whole just thousands of miles that just gave me this sense of like new freedom, new identity, new purpose. And I think just surrounded by a lot of negativity growing up just really affected my mood all the time and mm-hmm. affected the music that I listened to. And that's exactly what happened in college, where I was in Florida. I was always at the beach and everything I wrote was very beachy and like just like tropical and kind of lighthearted. And that's where I was at in college. And I was also really in love and all this great stuff, just self-exploration.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Man, well, I mean, college, that age is
emotionally
just
bursting. Yeah. I was going to say, we're all puppies.
I'm already an emotional person just by nature. And I was just wearing it all on my sleeve like a big old dipshit.
Weren't we all, though?
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing is like, you think back on stuff like that and it's like, man, how did I get through those times or whatever? I was such an idiot. How did I have any friends or whatever? But then you realize like, oh, well, they were all being idiots too. Like they, you know what I mean? Like to your point, everyone has to go through those phases or whatever. But so were you writing music in the metal band?
I was, yeah.
You guys weren't just doing covers and stuff.
No, all the songs that we performed were originals.
So would it be a situation, I didn't think I would harp on your metal band in high school
great.
For
this
so long,
great.
But it just really threw me for a loop.
Yeah,
I'm trying to like reconcile this version of Raquel that you're talking about and then the only one that I've ever known.
I
you
get
know
it.
I mean?
I'm like in a bright yellow dress, like smiling and like, wee!
And that's what I mean is like, that is a drastic personality change.
Totally.
And I don't mean to say that you've led me to believe that, like, you literally, you moved to Florida and that day, the, you know, the clouds parted and the doves came down.
And the sun's...
I know it was still a process,
but
the fact that you were aware enough at that age to know that you had to try something and get away from what sounds like a very toxic environment.
Yeah.
And that it actually worked, right? Because you seem now, you know, however many years later, like a very content, at ease with themselves human being. You do not give any kind of vibe off.
I give no fucks.
Yeah. I mean, you just seem in a really positive way, just really lighthearted.
Yeah. I appreciate that. Yeah. That's cool. I work towards... Especially like just upon pursuing music as a career, I haven't always been a full-time musician. I had to work here.
Sure.
And that's a huge chunk of my happiness is like doing something that I genuinely like.
Yeah.
But yeah, I have always been such like such a mature young person. Like I was always a little more mature than my peers around me.
Childhood trauma will do that to you.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. It'll make you grow up fast.
Makes you think about things that you... probably shouldn't until you're way older
where
at a very
like,
young age.
You're like emotionally stable at the time, you know, like
but that's hard, man, because you don't have anyone to help walk you through it in a lot of those situations, because that's the problem.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you know, anyway, we don't have to go into details about it, but that's you have to have a lot of emotional maturity. And you have to figure that out really quickly.
Oh, yeah.
If that's your life experience. You know what I mean?
Well, the whole transitioning from like metal, edgy Raquel to like flower dress, sunshine Raquel.
Right.
I was always pretty much the same, like pretty happy-go-lucky person. As long as I was surrounded by music and friends that I loved and people that cared about me, I was always very like... Just because I listened to metal, I wasn't all like...
Yeah, yeah, sure.
You know?
Yeah.
It was circumstantial, but the image that I guess I wanted to pursue was more metal because those were the kinds of people I was hanging out with, the people I was influenced by. I feel like when you hang out with, you know, the jocks in high school, that's how you're going to dress and that's how your friends are going to dress.
Right.
So it was the same thing. And then when I went to college, it just like... I don't know. I guess I just saw everybody else kind of having their own self-expression and I just picked up on that cue and I was like, you know what? Like, she looks cute in a sundress. I want to start wearing more dresses and I want to start feeling more feminine and I want to start getting my nails done. So it was kind of just
That's
like a overtime transition versus overnight. So you're right.
Yeah. That's cool, man. I mean, I'm not glad to hear, you know, that things were rough in childhood, but I am glad to hear that you found, because some people don't find a way out of that kind of stuff.
No, it's
man.
A crutch to
it's
some
really
people.
Dark, you know?
Yeah.
For sure. And it'll affect you for, you know, way past when it stopped going on, whatever the thing was. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's bizarre. All right. So, man, we went to serious dark town there for a second. Holy shit.
This is the stuff that you want to know about the person, isn't it?
Well, it kind of is, yeah. It's just, you know, I want to be careful about respecting privacy and boundaries at the same time.
Yeah, I get it. No, this has all been gravy.
Cool, man. Well, what else? So...
I will say, though, before we get off this topic, I think metal is what gave me balls, for sure. Like, that's where it all began. Like the big dick energy that Raquel now has.
Yeah.
It's because I was very introverted as a kid. Mm-hmm. And then I started doing metal. And it's like, if you want to sing in a metal band, you better step up, you know?
Yeah. So
it kind of like, that's what transitioned me into like this performer.
See, I wish I had. How do you do that? I guess we're not going to leave this conversation or this part of the conversation. So like you, and I'm asking this because this is actually like, to be transparent or whatever, this is something that I'm working through in my life right now, which is
friends that make fun of you for listening to Sarah Vaughan closetly.
Kind of. No, well, so I gave up the idea of the whole guilty pleasure thing like a very long time ago, right?
Good for you.
It was like, well, fuck it. If I don't care what someone thinks because I like Tears for Fears, I love Tears for Fears. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Or whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
Oh crap, now I forgot what I was gonna say. What was my question?
How do you... dot dot dot.
Oh, no, Raquel.
We were just talking about how I got broken out of my shell because of metal.
Yes. Oh, okay. So you just said, you know, this, what did you say? This big dick Raquel.
Big dick energy.
The energy.
Raquel.
Yeah, yeah. There you go. Yeah, sorry. The order of those words are very important.
Everybody.
Is that what's showing up on the screen right now?
Someone's typing that right now.
How did you get to a point where you knew you had that and you accepted it? You seem very, it seems easy for you to be like, oh no, this is something I'm really good at and I am really good at it. Or
no.
This is a very positive attribute that I have and I recognize that.
Yeah.
I have such a hard time doing that. Like to a fault. You
yeah.
know what I mean? It's not, it goes past humility into yeah. self-deprecating.
I think at the time, like, I was just going with the flow. You're giving me way too much credit, I think.
Maybe I am.
And then I think introspectively.
But I'm talking about right now. For you to say that right now, talking about, like, the swagger that you have.
I do a lot of thinking, and I'm like, why did I do this?
Uh-huh.
It's like everything that I do, I try and analyze and learn from.
It's a very kind of curious, scientific way to approach things.
Thus my science degree. Like, I do have,
so what was,
like,
your degree?
Neurobiology.
Oh my God. Are you serious?
Yeah. I just, it's interesting shit.
I know.
Yeah.
I listened to a lot of, yes, I love all of that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't.
So I'm like you in that it's hard for me to be like, stick to this thing. You're good at it. You know, I'm not, like I said, you're giving me way too much credit, but
yeah,
it's hard.
Go ahead.
It's hard for me to like figure out what that thing is and be like, all right, hone in on this and focus on that. And that's not something I realized till recently. I think just being on the internet and seeing what sticks and seeing your audience go up and down and like, this is a live feed of how shitty you're doing, you know?
Right.
So
it's real time metrics, mm-hmm, like
yeah.
in the moment.
So that's kind of part of it.
Oh, that's terrifying.
At least currently, like what are you, what song are you performing? Why don't people like this? You could even go as specific as that.
Sure.
Just seeing like crowd reaction. I mean, it's like playing live, you know?
Yeah.
It's just like that, but you
flesh it all out.
And yeah. You could do it a lot more often.
Right.
And on your own time with real-time numbers right in front of you.
That's bizarre. I mean, in a good way.
It is totally bizarre. Yeah.
Wow. Well, I mean, I guess it's nice to, you seem to have figured out some sort of way to like I said earlier, I think I said, you seem very at ease with yourself, which sounds like a simple thing to say, but not many people seem at ease with themselves. And I don't mean, again, to give you too much credit, like you're some Zen master of like, you know what I mean?
I don't smoke a lot of weed, dude.
Okay, well, maybe that's part of it, you know what I mean? Like, which is totally valid, obviously. But yeah, it's just, it's cool to hear someone else that like is able to kind of objectively go, oh, nope, this is what my talent is. I know I've got this in the bag. I know I got this in the bag. These are the things I maybe need to think more about. Well, you know what I mean? But then be able to portray that same thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I tend to go way too far on the humility side, and I'm trying to work on that. Like,
yeah.
Knowing what I'm good at and what I'm not, and taking credit for the things that I'm good at, and
yeah.
admitting when I'm not good at something, you know?
Yeah, I think it's personality thing too. I'm very competitive in nature. So if like someone says like you're bad at this or like Raquel you suck, I'm just like fuck you.
Right.
I'm gonna do this instead, and it's like part of my personality.
That's cool.
So instead of being like I'm sorry, I won't do it again, I'm very like just I have a lot of pride and it bites me in the ass sometimes. But most of the time,
I was gonna say, does it come back around and kill you sometimes?
Totally. But that's part of it, you know.
Yeah.
That's part of my personality and it's part of my drive, is just having this weird sense of pride about everything that I do.
You know what, maybe as I'm hearing you talk about it, I think it's a willingness to, because you have to be, everything you just talked about, you have to be vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be willing to be vulnerable to do that. And maybe that's the thing that I'm realizing that I still have some hang-ups with. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's where you are being, whether you're conscious of it or not, the fact that you put yourself out there like that so consistently, I think would drive some people crazy. Some people, some people aren't made for that.
No,
it's a very that's a very specific now kind of a thing to be kind of built for in a way.
Yeah, I think it's, again, it's like a personality thing.
Yeah.
Some people are not built for 9-to-5 jobs. Like, I'm not. Yeah, you and I are not. But I credit the people who can do it. Because they're a specific kind of person that can do that.
And we need them.
Exactly.
And they need us.
Exactly. Yeah. We feed the creativity and the content, and they're the ones who are making sure these things exist for us.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, for sure. So what do you, I think I started this a few minutes ago and we went on a tangent, but which is probably my fault, but the idea of community with something like online, right? Because one thing that helps musicians is hopefully you want it to be the town that you live in.
Yeah.
There's some sort of support system, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you have another one.
Yeah.
That's a completely different thing that you have access to, I guess, whenever you want.
You're talking about the internet, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean,
or in just specifically things like Twitch.
Yes.
Because like you said, the difference between it and YouTube is the in the moment.
The live component.
The live component. It's all live. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So nothing gets archived. Nothing's like...
Things do, but you have to like opt for
it. You choose for the... So a show you would maybe archive so your listeners that couldn't watch it live can go back and watch it 2 days later.
Yeah.
Right?
But okay. Everybody wants to be there in the moment.
Yeah.
And that's really the culture we live in.
So have you made a lot of friendships through this? I'm assuming
totally.
You have.
Yeah. Some of my best friends that I would never have met... I mean, if you think about it, it's the same thing as like Tinder or something that is like, you're just broadening your social web.
Right.
Like now it's not just in Birmingham. It's not just in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. It's like you could be friends with someone in Europe and you might have the same interests. You could play a show with someone in LA that you've only met twice.
Mm-hmm.
So, some of my best friends are from Twitch and I've traveled with them all parts of the U.S. and the world. Like,
that's cool.
It's really cool that you're finding people who are doing the thing you're doing. They're almost like your coworkers.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same thing, but they live somewhere else.
That's kick ass.
Yeah.
What about, before we wrap up, like what was your Birmingham experience like? And I don't mean that like, tell me everything that was good about Birmingham. I like an honest, like, what was it like?
So Birmingham was incredibly nurturing to my musical growth. This is where I cut my teeth.
Right.
And I don't think I'm ever going to stop doing that.
Sure.
But I think because Birmingham is growing and it's, since I've been here, there's been a lot of growth. I don't think it's like really, I don't want to say worth it, but like, I don't want to sit for another 10 years and wait for, like, let's say, me to get the biggest show in Birmingham. I feel like I need to leave and pursue other opportunities. Yeah. Because there's not, let's face it, the population here is smaller.
Yeah.
So not enough people are going to want to come out and watch you at Iron City, mm-hmm. let's say.
Right.
Versus if you, like, play a huge show in L.A., more local people might come out just because there's just more people out there listening to your stuff because of the population.
Well, and the culture difference alone, even apart from population, is that these other cities, and yes, they have higher populations, but other cities with healthier music scenes also have a demographic of people that are just willing to, they have trusted venues that they like and are willing to just show up even if they don't know who's on the bill.
There's barely that culture here.
There's like none of it.
You have to have,
you know?
Yeah, you cross your fingers and hope like Saturn will ask you to open for someone or on a good night, not
right.
like, you know, any other just throwaway day. It's got to be like heavily advertised. It's so hard to like make every show you play in Birmingham huge.
Yeah.
It's got to be really special. Yeah, you can't.
You got to wait. You can't, unless you're a certain type of music or it's a certain type of gig, like, because, you know, so you do all kinds of stuff. Like, we talked about, like, you know, what was the good people, was it after the Barons games, right?
Yeah.
That kind of stuff, right? But then you have stuff that's, like, more, where you're doing stuff at Good People that's more about, like, having a good time and we're at a bar after, and you play your own music as well too, but you also do a lot of covers and blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah. Whereas that's different than having a show at Saturn where
yeah,
it's like,
showcase.
Come see me. This Saturn, you know, this show is for you to come see me. this other thing was like, I love playing music where people are already going to be there because there's an event, right? Mm-hmm. Those are two different things going on. And I don't know how to make, because Birmingham is a really good festival city.
Yeah.
We seem to like festivals.
Well, we just lost Sloss. So.
Well, and then that.
dot, dot, dot.
Meh, meh. Yeah. But getting to people, getting people to shows is a fucking pain in the ass.
It is. And that's part of why I left, because, man, I just, you know, you can only play so much and you can only promote so much before you just exhaust the amount of people that could possibly come to your show.
Yeah.
And I think kind of like a, not a wake up call, because I don't think it was like me leaving was negative at all. I still consider Birmingham home and rep it hard.
Sure.
But when I played this past show at the Nick, and we just like, me, Tragic, and the Pearl, we just like filled that place up to the brim.
That's awesome.
And like oppositely, I didn't feel like I could do that again for like another, you know, like 6 months.
6 months, yeah.
And it's like, why? I don't want that. I want a place where it's like I could play here, but then across town.
Yes.
I want to be able to play this venue and do the same thing like 2 months from now.
Yeah. Well, and that's the reality, is that Birmingham, I think, is heading that way.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be a while before it's like
that. Right. And that goes back to what I was saying. Yeah, like, I don't think I
wait around.
Want to wait 10 years.
Yep.
And like wait for that explosion to happen, because I think it's bound to happen, and there is a huge population increase and younger people are starting to live here.
Sure.
The South is less stigmatized, and like it's good for the music scene.
Yeah.
And it's a great music scene. Yeah. I love the music scene here. That's why I stayed for so long.
Yeah.
Because everybody I played with were like jazz musician aficionados and would like make fun of me for not knowing what a D flat minor.
There's a lot of great jazz. There's a lot of great jazz players in Birmingham. I don't think people talk about that as much.
Oh yeah,
I
mean, it's a hub for
there's
it.
Tons.
And oh, I, so many.
Me and my buddy Van and George and Nick, we used to sneak into the venues to go see like Robert Moore and the Wildcats play like so long ago. But it got to where like some of these bouncers at the door were just like, we know you're underage, but we also know you just want to listen to this music. We're keeping an eye on you. They'll let us in, kind of thing, to watch these killer jazz guys play, you know?
Yeah.
And no one ever talks about that.
Right.
Here.
Yeah.
Or I feel like they don't. It's another.
But it exists. It's very like low key. I mean, you don't play jazz to become like the next Katy Perry, you know? It's just inherently not going to have that much of an audience.
It's not an ambitious.
Yeah,
you're in that way. It's
right,
not ambitious.
Right. Yeah. It's a different crowd you're playing to, for sure.
Right.
Less people.
Yeah. Well, thanks for coming and doing. I hope we get to do this again.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Totally. This was a lot of fun. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. And just say again, for the people that would be listening to the podcast version, like where to find you, the easiest place to find you.
Sure. Google me, Rakel, Lily.
One L.
Lily, one L. Yes. You can find my Spotify, my website, my Twitch page, my Instagram, Twitter. I'm on everything. So just if you Google it and you're trying to find it, you will find it.
Check it all out.
Yeah.
All right, cool. I'm going to put you on the spot. Is there a one song that I can end the podcast with that I'll play us out on?
Yeah.
What song do you want? And it could be anyone this time because we're not on the radio.
Do you want like a new song?
Whatever you want me to play at the end of the show.
Okay. Let's go for a do. It's like an unreleased song that you can only really listen to on my Twitch channel if you request it live.
Sweet. All right, cool.
Yeah.
We'll play that one. Cool. Thanks again for coming in.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, cool. We did it.
That was
that
fun.
Feel good?
Yeah, that was
okay,
awesome.
Cool.
Thanks for having me.
Hell yeah.
What'd you think?
About what? The conversation?
Yeah, was it interesting stuff?
Yeah.
Good.
You like, not that I walked in thinking that I'd, you know, knew certain things about you or anything, but there were, from what I do know about you, there's like some legitimate like surprises, like the metal thing or like the,
that's awesome.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I love
which
hearing
I love
that.
Hearing stuff like that. Like,
yeah.
Anytime I can get an idea of like more depth with someone that I get to talk to, you know what I mean? That's really cool.
Yeah.
And I learn a lot. I mean, a lot of this stuff is just selfish. It's like, I learn a lot by having these conversations with people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like,
you learn a lot about the person.
Yeah. And it's cool to be able to find out I don't know. I'm just interested in how people think.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, as individuals.
Yeah.
And then when you said you did neurobiology?
I did, yeah. I was always told, like,